So I've been asked to talk to you about the complexities of transplant immunobiology in 10 minutes with a crayon. We're on. So why is it that we reject other people's organs, but we don't reject our own? It's pretty simple, actually. Our bodies were made to accept ourselves. And so there are a couple different ways where that works. First of all, the thymus eliminates cells that are likely to reject you. And so the number of cells that can reject you that have been trained by your thymus is very, very small. It's a low precursor frequency. However, it's not perfect. You do have some cells that can reject you. When they do, we call it autoimmunity. Why do you not get autoimmunity that much? Well, it's because those cells have to meet up with an antigen-presenting cell in the secondary lymphoid tissue, like the spleen. And that's a pretty unusual event because most autoantigens aren't presented in the spleen. But even if that happens, you have a rare cell that escapes thymic maturation and a rare chance event in the spleen that gets the cell activated. Why do you still not have autoimmunity very much? Well, because that cell doesn't know where to go. The endothelium for a normal healthy person is quiescent. It's not calling the T cell back. And so when a T cell doesn't know where to go, it dies, an apoptotic cell death. And so typically, your thymus educates your T cells for your body, mostly for your MHC. It is unusual for having your antigens presented to the rare autoimmune cells. And when that happens, it's rare for that cell to find its way back to its target organ. Transplantation, completely different. Your thymus did not anticipate somebody else being inside you. And so instead of eliminating all of the cells that could possibly kill your donor, all those cells get out. So you're starting, instead of with just a few cells that could cause trouble, with lots of cells that can cause trouble. Secondly, when we take a transplanted organ and take it out of the cooler and sew it into somebody and it reperfuses, it recognizes that this is not the day it thought it was going to have. And it spews antigen-presenting cells by the billions into the secondary lymphoid tissue. So now you've got lots of cells and lots of opportunity for them to meet up and get activated in the spleen and other lymphoid tissues. And when those cells come out, now there's lots of them, they know exactly where to go because this is a traumatic environment now. The organ has been taken from someone else, it's been sewn in basically with fishing line and reperfused, and it is an inflammatory event. So every one of those cells knows exactly where to go. And so the reason we reject people other than ourselves so much more frequently than we reject ourselves is because we have a high precursor frequency, a high probability of antigen presentation, and a direct line back to the graft. So how do we stop that? Well, what we have to do is block these cells from becoming activated. Why do lymphocytes become activated? Well, I would analogize it to making a decision. Basically, when a lymphocyte comes into an environment, it has to decide what to do. And that's the same as every decision that you have to make. There are components of a decision that have to be met for it to work out well. And those include specificity, context, and magnitude. It's a height, depth, and breadth of the immune system. And just like any point in space can be identified by three components, every lymphocyte needs those three components to be met to be activated. So the height of the response is the antigen receptor. And in the T cells, that's the T cell receptor. In the B cell, it's the B cell receptor. That binds to MHC molecules, and that generates signal 1. And that signal 1 is the specificity. That tells the T cell, pay attention. It doesn't tell it what to do. The second signal are co-stimulatory molecules, and the most commonly studied one is CD28. It binds to B7, and that gives a positive signal saying, okay, now that you've seen this, have a positive response to it. Interestingly, when that response happens, it sends up another molecule called CD152, which competes off that. So that every time you start an immune response, you turn it off. And that keeps you from having an unregulated immune response. This B7 molecule from the antigen-presenting cell has to continuously be there for you to keep having an immune response. And when the antigen is eliminated, the immune response stops. And of course, you have specificity, you have context. How do you work on magnitude? Well, you have all sorts of soluble molecules that bind to things like the IL-2 receptor and others. And those soluble molecules lead to signals that make the cell divide and grow, and they can take a small response and make it into a big response. When we do transplant immunosuppression, we're basically blocking one of these signals, and the right signal to block depends on the situation in the patient. But the T cell receptor, signal 1, is blocked by calcineurin inhibitors, cyclosporine, and tacrolimus. The co-stimulatory receptors are blocked by belatacept, and the amplification signals are blocked by basiliximab outside the cell, mTOR inhibitors like everolimus and sirolimus inside the cell, and purine inhibitors like MMF and azathioprine inside the nucleus. And by blocking all of these things in various patterns, we can turn off all of the problems that these cells over here are making. Now, the last point I will make is just as though you think you can find a point in space from height, breadth, and depth, there is one component that you need to really know where that point is, and that's time. That as the immune system moves through time, it changes because it keeps having activating events and quiescent events. And since you can't continuously grow your immune system, that means the immune system is always activating and then contracting and activating and contracting. So the immune system you encounter today is not the immune system you may have many years from now. That's why immunosuppressing babies is different than immunosuppressing older people. So that's pretty much it. Get out there, stop that rejection.